Killer Keller podcast. Killer Keller official.com.
THTC, the UK's leading ethical streetwear label. Organically grown and ethically built garments from hemp, organic cotton and other sustainable materials. 2019 is their 20th anniversary year. Join me with THTC as a Killer Keller podcast sponsor celebrating music, social activism, hemp and street culture. THTC, eco-fashion redefined since 1999.
Instagram UK Frontline.
Beatbox created.
Killer Keller.
And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
Killer Keller podcast.
And it's always a pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Killer Keller podcast. Welcome to the Keller Dome. Subscribe, tell a friend, big shout out Graffiti Kings. Big shout out to everyone out there that's subscribing and sharing and spreading the love. Hit the bell, subscribe button if you've just joined us. This is Street Culture, it's fine, it's music and more, that's how we roll. I am the conduit, Killer Keller, and here to help unmask this story with a mask on his face. Exactly how we like it over on a Killer Keller podcast. A man that I've kind of bumped into so many different areas of my career and knowing so little about my brother, Mighty Chang, inside the place. What are you saying?
How are you? Thanks for having me up, man. Good, man. Yeah.
How's it been?
Good. It's been hot, sweaty, and locked down. Yeah. But apart from that, it's been good.
Yeah. Just for reference, he doesn't wear this get-up all the time. No. I mean, that would just be like eczema central, wouldn't it?
Especially in this weather.
Yeah, exactly. It's graffiti weather, isn't it? Is it graffiti weather for you?
In the
your
mask
mind?
Is. The lockdown mask is pure graffiti weather.
What is the most suited graph weather?
I'd say winter snow, winter hoods, cold, no one about. No one wants to go out apart from nutcase graffiti writers.
Yeah, exactly. You know who you are.
Definitely winter. Definitely
winter. Yeah, it's a winter thing, isn't it? If you're orbiting around the mid-90s in the graph world, TFH, you, Scholar, dangerous levels of graph, that I just felt like you were in your own... You and Scholar were kind of in your own world, and that always appealed to me. It didn't feel like you were from the conventional
London scene sort of thing. Yeah, we worked from outside of London, and that's where we started our kind of journey in it. And then we kind of met various people within, you know, Blink and Touch and Gash, Tense, all those guys.
Hold tight.
And they kind of hold tight, all those guys, and they kind of brought us into that kind of world. And that's how we kind of got into. Side of things.
Did you grow up with Scholar? Were you guys?
Yeah, I used to know his sister years ago. We used to knock around together, and she said, "Oh, my little brother's into graph. You should meet him. He's only like a little kid back then." Because like back then, there's a 3-year age difference, but when you're that young, it's quite a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
But I remember meeting him the first time. We did a trackside. He was in his school uniform. I was like, "Guy's really young, he did. And then we did a track side, it all went good, and then just from then just did more and more and more and kind of delved more into London. And
so where are you originally from, without being too specific?
Outside of West London, kind of like West London, and then a few steps beyond.
Really?
So far west.
Really? So how did you get into it yourself?
Into graph.
Yeah.
I remember when I was about 12, I used to read Hip Hop Connection, and there used to be these 2 or 3 pages in the back that had Motu, Bando, kind of like subway art, kind of old school graph, and that just got me into it. And then for years, I used to take pictures, walk around London on my own, just taking pictures. My friends thought I was nuts. I used to get up at like 8 in the morning because I was like scared of getting robbed. I was like, had my camera on me, little dude walking around all these estates. And I used to love taking pictures of graph for years and years and years. I never actually did it. I just took pictures and documented it. And then, I met Scholar, and then we started actually doing it.
The law of averages of you meeting up with someone like, well, a mutual that is into graph. I mean, by the sounds of it, you were very much an isolated kind of character. Your friends thought it was a little bit...
Yeah,
kooky.
I was... Yeah.
Really?
I was definitely on my own. I was like a very solitary character. Right. Even actually when I first started doing graph, I used to just paint on my own.
Really?
Yeah, the first 2 or 3 years I remember just painting
on my own.
That's
how I imagine... And I know that sounds... It couldn't be further from the truth, by the way. He's such a don and great to hang out with. But like... I remember when I first bumped into you at Bongo, Mr.
Yeah,
Bongo.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like 97, 98, was it?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Outside, and then my mate Lek turns around and goes, it's fucking Chang. I was like, get the fuck out. You know what I mean? On your own, you know, just on your, quite shy.
Yeah, maybe,
perhaps,
yeah, yeah.
From what I remember.
Yeah.
But I was always like a bit of a, I want to be friends with everybody, mate. Still applies now.
I remember
really
that. I remember that day. Yeah,
yeah. That, it's all sepia, isn't it? It's just, but it happens, and it like it just sinks into your psyche. Everything you do when you're younger seeps in a lot more deeper, doesn't it?
And you just need that little click to remember it, then it all comes flooding back. Like when I spoke to you on the phone the other day, you said, "You remember that time at Bongo's?" And I'd totally forgotten about it, and it just comes flooding back. Yeah.
Before we even come on, we were talking about like early '90s, you know, house dance music programs and shit.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
And like you were saying then, just before we got ready, you were like, "Actually, we wouldn't even have had this conversation had we not even applied ourselves to doing a podcast."
No, exactly. Mm-hmm. But you might have forgotten about it if you hadn't had that conversation. So
yeah,
it's all good.
That shit's super important.
Yeah, and these podcasts even as well, just for remembering all the little stuff, not just the graph, but the lifestyles, the kind of adventures around it as well.
Yeah,
that you forget about. Exactly. Like I get sent photos that I have no recollection of ever doing it.
Oh, just, mate, I don't doubt it.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
So it's good to, yeah, it's good to document it. So
that was actually spin your, I guess the equivalent is when someone sends me a flyer and says, "Oh, I remember seeing you at so-and-so," and I'm like, yeah, I can't remember.
It's weird, isn't it? Because yeah. I mean, it's quite a big thing to do do a gig, I suppose, and it's like not remember it. So.
I know, that's fucked, isn't it? But I guess in the same sense, when you go and do like some still or you track sides or, you know, you go up to those highest heights of delivering a fucking dub somewhere on a roof or something.
Yeah.
It's hard to forget that, isn't it? Or is it?
Yeah, I think you say that, but there's some times I've seen photos of stuff that we've done that's been, you know, quite a hot spots and I've just totally forgotten doing it. I don't know if it's because we were kind of blazing a lot around the time or it was so long ago, but yeah, you do.
Really?
Yeah, you put it away. It's weird.
Well, your blazer was
yeah, that was always part of going out on missions.
Was it?
Yeah, it was a big part. Yeah.
Did it make it hard for, because, I mean, not that I'm suggesting you've stopped,
yeah.
But oh, with those two things running hand in hand, that must have been like a double kind of, how'd you stop this? You know, like blazing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It comes early now, I suppose. Yeah.
It was, it just always went hand in hand. I don't know if all the people I was with, because I used to blaze before I started writing, and then all the people I was around, it was just always about, it's kind of added to the intensity of it all and the anxiousness of it all.
Yeah. When you were going around on the trains, and you were, because I was on the Cosa podcast, him and Tate were explaining that they used to take photos, you know, and trade the flicks and whatnot. Like, how deep did you used to go into the, you know, into the photography side of things and capturing the images early?
Like, ridiculously deep. It used to kind of, like, for a period, it used to rule my weekends. I used to go as far as, like, Woolwich. There was a Hall of Fame in Woolwich, I remember. Just go to Tufnell Park, Tottenham, just all over London on my own. Just, not for anyone else. I didn't trade with anyone. I just had these photo albums. Used to just get a new photo album, fill it up, go out again, fill it up.
You still got them now?
I've still got them now, yeah.
Crazy!
Yeah, it's just this weird obsession.
Wow.
And not just pieces, like little bombed walls or little tags I saw, just the whole, I don't know what it was, it was just this thing that I had to do.
What's the feeling you have when you think about that right now? Because that's the only way to really explain it, because like, perhaps you can't find the motivation, but what was the feeling when you were doing it? Can you feel that?
Yeah, it was a feeling of excitement. Yeah. Like, you know, today people, their first encounter with graph might be on Instagram. Mm. And it's all good, Instagram. It's great for certain things. But I think if I had my first encounter with graph on Instagram, I don't know if I'd be so hooked. It was going out there, you know, like you don't know what you're going to find around the next corner. You don't know what you're going to bump into. It's that whole excitement, like the sounds, the places, the people, where the graph was. It was just that was all part of it for me. And going on the mission to find it.
Mm. I think the culture that it came from, it celebrated the, not just the act, but the person behind it. I know that feeling you're talking about. To be in front of a tag at the age we were, to see a Chang tag in front of me, it put me in the place of, that person has stood exactly where I'm standing.
Yeah, exactly.
And he did that.
Yeah. And they were seeing this, they were kind of breathing the same air that I'm breathing, smelling the same smells, the same...
Absolutely. Yeah. It used to just, it drove me to obsession where I was just like, yeah, maybe I'll meet these guys.
Yeah, and I'll say exactly the same as me. Exactly the same. Like, I used to work on Portobello Road every week with my dad. He used to run an antique store. And I used to go up there every morning, used to set up at 5:30. And then after we'd set up, I used to go around for a walk around the area, around Latimer Road, you know, Trellick, all the spots. And being there the week before, and the next week, there's a new grafter. Like, they've been there like since I've been here, and there's been a new piece that's been done in the last week. It's just blow my mind.
Blows your mind, doesn't it?
Especially in that area, it was just such a hotbed for graft. Yeah. That was another big inspiration, actually. That whole kind of West London, Ladbroke Grove, Latimer Road, that was a big inspiration.
That whole area, to me, just bleeds just the scene.
To me, it's kind of, I don't know, I could be wrong, but to me, it's the kind of the epicentre at that time for graph, I think.
Yeah.
So many spots under the Westway, you know, Ackland Play Centre.
Where
it's like a bit like wastelandy as well back then as well.
Yeah. One in, one out kind of environments.
Yeah. Which was all part of it.
Yeah. And so many videos that you'd see, like drum and bass videos, you know what I mean? And they'd always have those places, and you were you did feel like you were walking in the fucking Mecca.
Like the footpath that goes over Westbourne Park tracks. That's just, all the spots.
Just crazy. Yeah. Just crazy. And when you talk about breathing the air and being in the same proximity right downstairs,
I saw just now.
A new bit. And he done it 4:30 in the afternoon.
Did you really?
Yeah,
I saw that.
Just down there.
Yeah,
mad.
Yeah, because the shot was all graphed up before, wasn't it? With the hearts, he just did it.
Yeah.
That's a hot one.
Super hot. That's hot as fuck. I'm like, dude. I mean, it's kind of good that maybe they didn't bump into each other. Maybe up here having a cup of tea. Yeah.
Should have got them up for a podcast.
Well, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Right, let's get it into it. Right, so like the Scholar and Chang era. I mean, it was just like a dynamic. But you also rolled with a bunch of other people, which to me, in my mind, they were kind of from different. They were from different crews, different walks of graph life.
Yeah.
Right?
It was definitely like a big mix-mash, whatever the word is. But yeah, we started, that whole started from going down at Kew Gardens, Grundy at Kew. I think at first it was it Blink and Gash and Tents, we met them. And they were going yard that night, so we kind of tagged along. And that was a BR, and that was the first sort of kind of bit of steel we did with them. And that's kind of when we started hanging around with like Touch and all those guys, and just doing more yards, more tracks, more everything. And that's where we kind of started kind of delving out a little bit more. And
Mace era.
That was a bit after Mace. We started doing bits with Mace after that. That was the kind of first bit with Touch and Blink and all those guys.
Right.
And then we started LWS with Mace.
There you go.
A few years later, and that's when.
Yeah.
But things was a lot more serious in the later years. At the start of it, it was very much just kind of go out with. I don't know, you might not have any paint, you might borrow some paint from someone, you'd be just kind of whatever happens. There was no real plan.
Really?
It was a rough plan, but it could often deviate from...
With T as well? That would be with Blink and
T
and all those guys?
Mainly. Yeah, most of the kind of bits I did with those guys, I'd say.
How mad. Why was it unorganised? Just like growing up into...
I think just growing up.
Yeah.
I remember once, it was like Woodford, I think. We went up there... And like a lot of the end of the line yards, they're quite leafy, quiet suburban suburb. They're quite, you know, quite like leafy streets and stuff. And we're trying to get over a fence to get to the yard fence. And then, you know, those kind of wooden slatted fences, I was climbing over it and it just went dup, 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 like slap, slap, slap by slap, like breaking, making like the biggest noise in the quietest area. So already it was on top sort of thing. And everyone was just laughing. That's how it was, just like no one really sort of cared about it. It was kind of very not really caring about getting caught, I suppose.
That's mad.
Yeah, and then we got to the fence, I remember. And normally to cut a hole in the yard fence, it takes ages, and you just cut a little hole. You don't cut a big hole because it takes so long. But this particular yard, I don't know why, the whole fence panel, there must be 3 metre by 3 metre fence panel, just been held on by like cable ties. So we just cut the cable ties, and literally the whole thing fell down, and we had this kind of massive walkway into the yard, just It was just like never happened before. It just mad.
Red carpet.
Yeah, no, it was like that. It was like gleaming Narnia in the yard, like trains gleaming.
Guys must have been like, did this fucking actually happen to
him? Yeah, no, it was mad. It was mad. So that was, yeah, good for when we got chased out as well. You didn't have to wait for someone to get out. You could just all run out together.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Which was, yeah, that was a mad one.
I think that's probably the scariest aspect when I've, you know, had conversations with everyone about it. I mean, teacher's one was insane, some of the stories he was telling us, right? But the idea of, like, getting chased out, that's like peak. That's like so intense. And you think that doing the reverse of what you did going in initially would apply.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure when you're having to scoot the fuck out, you're not thinking about what you did.
I mean, at those times, you just expected to get chased out. It was kind of, just like a norm, just because we were so kind of loud and not really caring about what we were doing.
Really?
I remember that particular night, we got chased out on the streets and all BTs on the streets. We had to get back on the tracks. I mean, I think we must have walked to Hainault, which is like 4 or 5 stops through tunnels. I remember thinking, like, oh, it'd be great to be kind of
back in bed.
Like bombing. We left all our paint. We couldn't really bomb.
Oh, so you could have gone and carried
on. Yeah,
just
but
going
we didn't have any paint. And we walked and walked and walked until the first train started running. I remember never, because we didn't get flicks because we got chased out, got a train back to the yard, went in the yard, broad daylight, and got pictures. I was like, fucking legend.
Brazen, yeah, wow.
Yeah. I was like, no, you're not doing that. He goes, I'm doing it. And he did. So wow. Fair play to him. That's a,
good for him.
That's
wow.
A crazy one.
See, these stories littered with nostalgia. And I mean, one of the things, the reasons why you're on here now is to define your stories and tell, you know, a gloss of A to Z about what the down for documentation purposes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Feels like it's an area of graph. Particularly the time in which you were painting prolifically, like, again, the Scotland Chang era, you were on your own vibe. And I don't think there's many other people out there of your our generation that was there for that dub era, the crazy dub era, but weren't associated with DDS, that weren't like...
Yeah, mate.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm sure if I think about it, there were a few other people that were doing bits at that time, but my mind's just... I can't think far back. But yeah, but there wasn't... It was predominantly that TKS, DDS. Right. There were
it was before ATG. It was before those...
Yeah, it was,
kind of... I remember you had the big... You would curl that G around. You would flip... You'd create a tongue out of the...
I always like movement in my letters.
Yeah, you had the whole... It was almost like a tail in every... letter. That was definitely inspired. That definitely inspired a lot of other people, didn't it?
I don't know. I hope so. Maybe. I hope.
I believe
I had
so.
some sort of inspiration out there. But yeah, I always just start with the G because the G had the most kind of flavour. I thought I'd start with the last letter first and then kind of work backwards, which everyone used to take the piss out of me for. But
hold on, so you'd go back to front?
I'd start with the G because the G had the most kind of flavour to it. And then I try and mould all the other letters around that kind of flavour that I had with the G.
That's amazing, because now when I think about your pieces, there was... It did feel
it's ruled by the G.
It's like a car. It's got the things up front and the rest is just... You know what it reminds me of? You know the Hot Wheels?
Yeah, with the big engines poking out the front and all that. I never thought of that, but yeah, that's that's a good comparison. Yeah,
love it. Smashed it, Chang. Come on. See, this is that childhood thing, right? You know.
Yeah.
You probably didn't even realise that, or didn't realise it at the time. Yeah. But you were actually doing things in reverse, so the things that you were doing stood out.
I mean, there was no plan to even to stand out or to get up as such, or to there was no kind of plan to we're going to do this and we're going to smash it. It was just kind of starting out. I like this is fun, met this person, that's fun, and we just kind of went off down the road of graph. And then
I used to see a lot of like heavy, you know, in your style, Chang old cars were pretty much were just dubbed. It was just dubbed out.
Yeah, it's mainly dubbed. I never really did that many a few pieces actually, but yeah, mainly dubbed.
There's a couple that ring in my head when I think about it.
I just love silvers. Just a silver in a nice hot place, hands down, kills a nice beautiful piece in a not so hot place. I don't know, there's something about how they got up there and the shit they went through to get it up there. It's kind of
Also, it's like, more about the event of getting to
for
the...
me. Yeah, I think so. And there has to be style with it as well, of course. But for me, I get I get buzzing when I see something in a, you know, like a hot rooftop or a train or a, yeah, that really gets me going.
And where you were, you know, when you think of that Kew, Richmond, where's the other area? There's a couple of near Purley, Putney, sorry, those kind of areas. The overgrounds, they're all, it's all rooftop business,
yeah,
isn't it,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, there's loads around there, around Gunnersbury, around that sort of area as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, no, it was good. It was good. It was good times. Yeah.
What's the craziest rooftop you ever done?
I never really did that many rooftops in England, actually.
Shit's scary, isn't it?
I went, and I can't climb. I'm the world's shittest climber in the world. Help me up, help me up. I did a rooftop in Brazil, actually, weirdly enough, which was quite fun to do. Yeah. But, yeah, I never really did that many rooftops. I remember that time Rest was smashing rooftops.
Ugh.
That was kind of my era.
Yeah, that's right.
Like early ATG stuff. Yeah, smashed rooftops.
Early ATG, man. They were going so hard, people were hating it.
Yeah,
they were loving it.
I loved all the hate they got. It was brilliant. Yeah. And they just turned that into just, you know, kind of like kind of fed off that hate, which is brilliant.
And then all the love came from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, mad love.
Who did you roll with most when you went to do, you know, when you went on missions? Who was it that you were rolling with most?
Who was it? Mainly Scholar, Blink, Touch, Gash, all those SB guys, Tense.
Yeah.
Main, yeah, if you look at all my old trains, track sides, it's 90% with those guys.
Yeah.
And then later on, it would be with Mace and people like that. Yeah. And Catch as well. Catch, I kind of did a lot of stuff with later.
Crazy
stories were more at the start.
Really?
Yeah.
Also, like, what, you know, that early stage. Give us some of them. Give us some fucking madness.
There was one night that sticks in my mind where, you know how you're saying you go out with people that you might not ever see again in your life, and you're going on a night that you'll remember for the rest of your life, and you won't ever see these people ever again. I always thought that was quite nuts.
Ooh.
This one night, there was like 17, 18 writers.
Yeah.
Obviously, people had called each other, and we'd all met up
to
do a layup. And to get to the layup, there were like 17 of us. So to get to the layup, there's tracks here, and there's tracks up here, and the layup's down there. We all had to go down like one by one, climb up the slip embankment onto the other tracks. And we were like the last people going up there. And I remember just looking down the tracks when we got up onto a bit where the layout was and just seeing this train and seeing like 18 writers painting a train, the fumes coming up. So by the camera that day, it would just been that just such an iconic shot. And like, unluckily for me, as soon as I got to the train, put on my first seat, then we got raided and all got chased out. So, but I always think of that vision when I was looking down, seeing 18 writers painting a train. It was quite atmospheric, you know, with the yard lights and the steam coming off from the paint.
Oh my God.
But,
it's like a mental picture, isn't it?
That's what I really regret, not having photos. But we didn't really have phones with photos back then. We didn't really have cameras, apart from disposable ones.
No, no, that's right. I mean, that just sounds like such a... I mean, we're in retrospect, of course, you understand.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
I mean, you don't really paint anymore, do you?
Not really. I mean, no. I do a few bits here and there, but not really anything.
That era, I think, is marred with that unfortunate lack of technology, because there's so many amazing things.
But it kind of makes it a bit more mysterious as well.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Where it's nice, Instagram, everything's documented, but it's quite nice to have that period in folklore. Although it would be nice to see photos of stuff from back then, but all the insides and stuff. And
Oh, I'd be just... you see it every so often, you know, Digital Jungle or, you know...
Digital Jungle was the one back in the day.
Well, that was, you know...
Someone's brought that back out online, I think. You can see all the old pages on there.
Yeah. Bro, like, it's mad. I mean, now you've got UK Frontline that is just hammering things that they're being sent, and people are actually more... They do the job for writers, you know, they're there just film. Like,
yeah, not even the actual writer that's done it.
Yeah.
Other people will post their stuff. Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing, and it feels like there's more of a tolerance.
What, towards graph? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, definitely. That's what back in the day. What drew me to it is there wasn't that tolerance towards it. Like I remember wanting to do graph in my art GCSE or whatever it was, and they said no, you can't do graph. It was a big thing to do graph. You couldn't do it. But now they're teaching it. It kind of shows how much things have changed.
Oh wait, so they're teaching
graph. Think a friend's got a kid and they were teaching him about Banksy in their art class. Like, what? It's crazy how much
that's
kind of,
mad.
Yeah, how it's turned from being a thing that you would never get taught to a thing that gets taught in, like, you know, 20 years.
Yo, I mean, what are they teaching them?
Yeah, I know. Hold on. Yeah, that's another story.
Yeah, I mean, maybe slightly delusional if they're trying to sell the dream of like £1 million.
Yeah, I'm sure some kids buy that as well. Don't buy.
kids. Banksy's done some groundwork. You know what I mean? This shit doesn't just happen.
Yeah, and if exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah. It doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah. Do you have any... Because obviously you're not... You make a living doing what you do. Similarly associated with...
Yeah. You know what I mean? I actually got into my job, graphic design, through... that's why graph's such a great thing. It was through someone I went yard with, met one night, and I got a phone call. Oh, you need a graphic designer. And that's how I kind of got into what I'm doing now, and that's like, you know, 18 years ago. So
that's incredible.
It can be a force of good. People like portray it as a negative thing, but it's a, you know, I've met a lot of good people and got a lot of good opportunities through the craft world.
That is the coolest shit I think I've heard on podcast for real. If it doesn't stand testament that you do things for a reason and that good does come out.
Yeah, eventually.
How long ago was that? 14 years ago?
No, about 19 years
that
ago.
That is insane.
A long time ago, and I'm still doing it because of that random night I went out and met that person.
I can't believe that. That's amazing.
Like an effect from it.
Yeah.
Some other stories. Yeah, loads of stuff like that's happened.
Do you think you've got to be ready for it when it shows up, when opportunity knocks?
That's what people say. There's no such thing as luck, isn't it? It's opportunity mixed with being ready for it at the right time. I think you're right. Yeah, if you're not ready for it, you're not going to take it up.
I mean, how many artists, musicians, fashionistas, they sit there on the fence waiting?
Yeah.
But you've kind of got to make your moves and work within the direction in which you feel in your heart you're meant to be doing.
I think, and just always keep on going. Even when you think it's not right, if you have that kind of ambition, just keep on going and keep on going.
Yeah.
Eventually.
What did your parents think back in the day?
My dad used to hate graph. So I used to work with him on Portobello Road. And I used to come back, when I was painting, I used to come back covered in paint, ready to work on the market stall.
Your market stall?
Yeah, Portobello Road, yeah.
Is that what got you into London a lot of times?
Yeah, that's what got me into... It was a big push of my inspiration, being around Portobello Road in that area,
that's
seeing
crazy.
All the new tags on the shutters and stuff, and all the local writers around there. That was good to see.
Mm.
So now he used to hate it, and my mum used to hate it as well.
Then it's great.
Yeah, there was not a lot of love for graph in our household. But then as time's gone on, you know, she's seen what good it's done, and it's...
That's what I mean, because, like... I remember my dad, he used to say to me, stop fucking beatboxing. Not swearing, my dad never swore. But he would just be like, stop beatboxing. And if I had a quid for every time he said it, you know what I mean? But now, you know, as soon as I started getting my paychecks in,
it was like, beatbox more.
It's true, isn't it? Like, as soon as... you know what I mean?
Because I don't think they maybe see our ambition, how much we're into it.
Yeah.
And it's not just a little fad, you know, we're going to go through with this.
Yeah.
They're probably just worried about us.
Yeah, I think that is ultimately what it is, isn't it?
Like, I mean, if my son said I want to be a graffiti writer, I think of all the... I don't know. Probably think of all the bad stuff first, but, I don't know.
Would you stop him? Would you stop your kids?
I wouldn't stop him, but I'd want to guide him in the right direction. Because,
I ask a lot of my friends
stop
that.
Him. Definitely wouldn't stop
you
him.
You wouldn't?
No, I don't think so. It's brought so much good to me, so...
It's a double-edged sword, isn't it? The characters that you meet,
that's
amazing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. That's what I love about it as well. You meet people from all walks of life and you've all got that common interest and you all get on, and well, most of the time anyway.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a different side to you? I mean, we're seeing a charming man. Do you think there was a different Chang when you were going out back in the day? Do you think there was more of an aggressive side, more of an anarchic side to you?
In terms of writing, definitely. Yeah. I was more... Once I started, I was more... There was that hunger and anger to get up.
Yeah.
And that kind of maybe took over the kind of, you know, nicer bits. I'd want to get up. I want to get up and do this and do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was definitely a kind of a... Maybe not an anger, maybe a hunger. A hunger.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a driver.
Yeah.
Like a kind of Mission Impossible kind of attitude. What was your... Because I see your... You're in that kind of world of, like, Vamp. Maybe you're a little bit later than that. Yeah, because Vamp was kind of... But he's at the same age as us, so maybe... What were your influences? Who was your influences?
When I started writing, main influence, I'd say Teach, Zombie, yeah. DDS, TKS, PHM, all those guys. Also, there was a crew called OTB, like Corpse and Fink. And there was a guy that used to write Pang. I'm not sure if he used to write with OTB, but he used to write P-A-N-G, Pang.
That rings bells.
He was ice
and really
love
clean
stuff.
Dude.
Yeah,
real ice clean,
and love
right?
His stuff. And I think I might have taken a bit of inspiration from my tag from that. I think
that's
possibly.
Sick.
But nice to love his stuff. Yeah, no one really talked about him. You don't really hear
about
him. But
he was up.
He was up. Yeah. Big time back in the day.
Yeah, and he's just well, that's kind of the same thing with Mace. I feel.
Yeah. No, it's true. Yeah, he's not really doing stuff anymore, but he's absolutely smashed it.
Yeah.
Absolutely smashed it.
I can't think of anybody else. He's real versatile and quite a lone star as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, he was. He did his own thing.
Hold
which
tight
was
Mace.
Yeah, hold tight Mace. Big up Mace.
You were in an era that really was like dub dominant.
Yeah, it was just silvers.
Yeah.
A few pieces here and there, but.
What was your theory? What was yours and Scholar's theory? What was your crew's theory on standing out?
I suppose just big and more and just more, I suppose.
Mm.
Just more. That was it.
How far would you go? How far would you go for that more?
How far would I go? As far as I could without, I suppose, getting arrested or getting too tired that you can't go on anymore.
Mm.
I remember going on like track walks for all night long and then doing stuff the next day and then just till you can't physically do it anymore.
Mm.
Or someone's been arrested or you get chased or...
How long are track walks? Like what? Miles and miles?
Oh, miles and miles and miles. Like hours and hours and hours. Mm. The point where you kind of get a bit bored. It's like,
yeah.
There's like massive gaps between anything you can hit. So it's just, come on.
Really?
There's more walking than writing going on.
Because I remember, yeah, because that's the thing. I remember like, you know, you'd be on the... particularly like Farringdon on those lines of Metropolitan and things yeah. like that back in the day. Me and my mates probably did what you used to do and we used to sit there and just like
yeah.
looking back and forth yeah. like a bunch of numpties, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I still literally hurt my neck like
yeah.
just doing that was
say, man. Mettler's headbang, hip hoppers look less
yeah, yeah. borderline window lickers.
Totally. It's just wrong. And just the levels of coverage that, you know, and I used to think to myself, man, like I remember I used to, you know, do promotional stickering for my.
I remember seeing that stuff.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. But you know, not to any scale of like I wouldn't even consider myself that in that league of coverage. It was more like when I got to like my sixth sticker.
Yeah.
Of sticking up and even like in a venue, I'd be like, oh, fucking hell. But you guys were just like doing it. And I always found it remarkable that over such a long period of space, you just relentlessly kept going.
Yeah, that's what I used to like to see, though. You like get on a train and you just see a tag and then a tag, and then like 10 stops later, you'd still see that tag. It's just like just the repetitiveness of it all. So I love that.
Yeah.
Just seeing that, seeing how someone's walked a whole track. So it's just, I don't know if just writers notice that or if. Other people that aren't into graph notice that, but I suppose we were just doing it for other writers. I think
that is the aim of the game. I always think my dad actually said something to me the other day. He came back from I think it was a Tottenham game, and he said he asked me of all people, "There's quite a lot of graffiti, isn't there?" I'm like, "Yes, Dad.
What's it all about, son?"
Yeah, totally. Dad, do you know what I'm doing? Do we know what's going on here?
Listen to a few of the podcasts, Dad.
It's the first time my dad actually said anything about graffiti ever. And it just struck me. I was like, wow, so how long did it take?
For, yeah, you know, that's a long time. That's like years and years.
Yeah, how long did it take you to... And I know it's no fault, it's just his generation.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe he just wasn't watching graffiti.
Some people
are
just totally oblivious to it.
Don't
even notice it.
Yeah.
In fact, my girlfriend was as well. Until she met me, she just didn't have a clue about graph.
Yeah.
It's weird though, because it stands out so much to me.
I know.
Maybe because it's on my radar, I don't know, but it's just, yeah, some people just don't get it or don't want to get it.
No. But I think maybe it's how it's some of its conduit, like the, I love that word, is a good word, it's a strong word. Hashtag, in my head.
Hashtag conduit.
Yeah, hashtag conduit. I think a lot of it is because it's part of our cultural psyche. You know what I mean?
Well, because we're into hip hop and
music.
I think that's a big bit of it for me.
Yeah,
because I was always into hip hop, and it just you know, you were with graffiti writers, you were around graffiti on album covers, on videos. It was always around.
Yeah.
And through reading Hip Hop Connection as well. I mean, that's how I got into kind of seeing graphs. So, yeah, there's definitely a big link.
They used to have the classified section in the back of Hip Hop
Connection. Yeah, what was that?
Dude, that's where I met a lot of people.
Was that where people used to put their addresses and you could write to them? Yeah.
Get you know, I used to meet so many MCs and DJs that way.
That's mad.
And we all used to
I remember seeing it, the little squares, and you used to write.
Yeah, dude. And I said, usually pen pals, you know what I mean? Before emails, motherfucker. You know, this would be the classified section where if you wanted an MC or a DJ.
Yeah, that's DMs back in the day, isn't it?
For real. I honestly, that's where I used to go to Bongos to meet up with these people and hang out. But you didn't realise at the time that that person you just hit up was Rodney Roots Maneuver.
Yeah.
You didn't realise that MK was going to be there.
Yeah.
You didn't know that Chang was going to be there. I mean, you DJed as well, right?
I DJed, not hip hop.
Yeah.
I got into hip hop, but then I started playing garage. So I met quite a well-known DJ, actually, again, through Graf. And I kind of got into the garage scene and started playing out.
Mm.
I used to play on Pirates and stuff and clubs. So that was all. That's another...
It's another podcast.
another Graf good influence I've got, which is good.
I always felt like the Pirates radio scene and the Graf scene, I don't know why it felt like it was hand in hand. It was just like the raw side of music.
Yeah. And I get why you say it, 'cause I think a lot of DJs and MCs were into Graf or wrote.
Mm.
And a lot of people that were into hip-hop got into the garage scene as well.
They did, big time.
So that's probably where the crossover was.
Yeah, and that's what made it kind of... That's where the UK scene in Graf really gained its own arms. It felt like, you know, garage was popping back then.
Yeah.
You know, the JD Sports Air Max.
Yeah,
and
like 97, 98, that was... I kind of hold that era in the same era as a whole. You know, like you look through golden glasses of the Graf era. I look through the same era for the whole garage scene. That was just... It was just such a new thing that was never around before. It felt so fresh and
so fresh. That kind of skip on the beat and everything was just like it was so.
It was just raw and new and
yeah.
I kind of imagine it to be how it was in New York when hip hop started and that kind of newness.
Yeah,
I mean it's probably totally different, but that's how I imagine it in my head. That kind of that like a new scene emerging and to be part of it was quite
It actually does my Swede that it's not about so much as it was because there ain't. If you'd have dropped a genre like that right now, there'd be nothing like it.
No, I know. But it's weird. It's weird. It's just kind of not as popular. Whereas like drum and bass jungle, that's kind of still there. It's still around.
And I don't know why that is.
No.
Not that drum and bass is around. Yeah, that's fucking awesome.
But I suppose Gary's kind of morphed into grime and then the whole drill thing. I don't know. It's kind of
maybe
gone down that route.
Yeah,
a little bit.
But that's where Graf kind of followed through. I'm speaking as Zonk, Hold Tight Zonk, like, and we were talking about, for me, like, the UK Graf reflected the order of the day in terms of music and tastes. And it just felt like it had its own thing. No one gave a shit. I don't think anybody gave a particular shit about the music, but I think it was more like Graf had its own independency from hip hop.
Yeah, definitely. When I used to play out at certain clubs in London, it was full of writers. Writers, and there were MCs that were writers that were MCing up there.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of writers used to come to those dudes. So it did have its. It kind of broke away from that traditional hip hop Graf thing, I think.
Yeah,
and even like the rave culture as well, even a bit before that, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
There were a lot of writers that were. Into that sort of thing.
A lot of writers got into flyer designing and stuff like that as well.
Yeah,
you know, pre-laptop graphic, you know.
Like kind of early, mid-90s kind of deal,
Hold Tight Pez, all day, bad boy artists on them old school flyers. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, fucking sick. But yeah, like you say, you've got into the graphic designs and things are kind of moving on in that world.
Mm.
And Instagram is totally enabling like the scene to flourish. Do you think it's moved in a direction, obviously, to satisfy your job roles? Obviously, it's progressively moving in that direction. But as a hardcore scene, do you think it's gone in the right direction for your mind?
At the age I'm at now, I do. I like it because it's just easy to see and it's good. But if I was young now getting into it, I think it's lost a little bit, maybe.
If it's faint.
Yeah. But for me now, doing my job and stuff, I love Instagram. It's kind of why I started kind of painting again as well, kind of putting up on Instagram and stuff.
Just to make it kind of known that you're there.
Yeah.
It's a very easy thing, isn't it, compared to... But what did you want at the end of the day? What did writers really want? They wanted their scene, their shit to be seen.
They wanted, fame, acknowledgement, I suppose, notoriety.
Yeah.
Just to do one better than the last person did,
yeah.
I think. Or to smash it more than the other person did. Yeah, I think that was the main drive.
Yeah. Favourite place to paint?
Favourite place, legal or illegal?
Either or. Back in them days when you were doing it.
Back in the days. Favourite. Probably a track size at Westbourne Park as you're going to Paddington, I'd say. I remember once, you know that was that big fume that was there? I remember once, I want to do a big dub next to it.
Of course you did.
And I was like, yeah. I got up there and I was like, fuck, you know. And I kind of reached as high as I could. There's like a little ledge at the bottom that you can stand on so you can get a bit higher than usual. And I thought, yeah, I'd done all right. And I got the train the next day and I literally could hardly see it. It was just dwarfed by the fume. I was like, fucking hell. That's one of those like fail moments. But
actually, at the same time, like anyone that put anything around that spot at that time when Fume and Bosch as well, wasn't
it? Yeah, there was Bosch, there was a big zonk there.
Oh my God,
There was a Fat Sam there, I think, before that by Elk.
That's right.
There was an iron there, I remember, a big iron. There's so much like shit went down on that
just
ledge.
So much notoriety.
Area. Yeah.
It was just something, if you even had your name, you small as it was there, you were heralded as like part of the. You know what I mean? London scene. Yeah, it was like, boom.
But you had to go big to be noticed there. Like, yeah. You really had to.
Yeah. It just didn't work out for you.
It didn't work out. I remember feeling so disappointed going home on the train. I really wanted to do a big dub there. And it just, But, you know, you win some, you lose some.
The levels of anxiety when you're in any, like, heavy populated place, that must drive you insane, especially when you're looking out for...
Yeah, it kind of does. But then you get to the point where you just sort of turn off.
Yeah.
You know you're in a hot spot, but you kind of got to turn off to concentrate. Otherwise, you'll be like, your lines will be all over here. You'll be worried. You kind of, it's this weird, this like switch that turns off in you just to kind of ignore. You know there's stuff around. You have to ignore it and get on with it.
How deep does it go? I mean, you've got to know your walk. You've got to know where you're going and shit, right?
At the start, we didn't have a clue. We just kind of get on and just walk and walk and walk and just see where we get out, try and find a way to get out. You might not be able to get out there.
So not even paint. You'd just be...
Oh no, we'd paint, but we just kind of we wouldn't have any exit strategy as such. We just kind of just get out where we could get out.
Because to me, from the outside looking in, majority of the times in the train, it just feels like a clusterfuck of heavy.
It's not a good word.
Hashtag cluster. I mean, Killikale podcast giving the vocabulary for 2020, baby. You know, it's a clusterfuck of like different sized, never gonna get out of this walls. You know.
Yeah.
And then there's a drop there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like,
I just couldn't deal with it in the dark. I would just absolutely turn
me in. That's what I loved about like those spots where there's a little ledge and there's a little drop and you know where you've been there and you know how hard it is to paint on there and just the kind of just the heartbeat levels to get to that. It's just
never. It feels like everything looks uncertain because you don't know where the real ground is.
No, I know, and it's pitch black, or you jump into a bush that you think. It's just up to there and it's just about 10 foot deeper and
I fries my brain, bro. Yeah. Like, you guys are fucking mad. A lot of you. It's amazing. And I think that's one of the biggest appeals as someone watching is just the curiosity, Bill. And I don't think any conversation will do that justice. You when you see the end thing being the way it is,
In terms of you doing it and then seeing it.
No, in terms of me not doing it and seeing it.
Oh, okay.
It's just that is just all those things. Going back to what we were saying about standing in front of a tag.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like to even be like on a platform, seeing the train come in, or seeing the track side and just being like, yeah, like they were.
That's what I mean about how you kind of view graph in its natural element. It's got so much more power and kind of. Wowness about it than seeing it on a screen.
Yeah.
I'm not knocking Instagram or anything because it's good, but it's just kind of I love seeing it in situ.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Even Hall of Fames as well. You know, even the new cats that are coming through. It's like to see it up close. To see. I mean, I do get a newfound perspective when I did like my first kind of like let's see what this paint can do kind of piece.
Did
very
you used to paint,
showy.
Did you?
No, never. No. This was only like a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
I just gave it a shot.
Okay.
Well, I got to the point where I was like, yo, like, I can only have certain amount of conversations. I need to take initiative just so I get a more close-up perspective. I just needed something else by doing it. I definitely developed a higher appreciation of, you know, when you're up close to a Chang piece, right, the way in which you operate the can is all determined on what's going on right there.
That's what I mean when I said you just have to just switch off to any paranoia. You've got to just turn it off and just concentrate on what you're doing, or else you'd be just all over the shop.
Is it level as Zen? Is there a real kind of spiritual kind of...
There is a definite switch off. You notice that switch off. Yeah. Sometimes you can't do it, but it's nice when you just, right, switching off now. I know it's all hot around me, but I'm just going to switch off and you know, let the chips fall where they may.
Do things slow down when you're painting?
Maybe, I don't know. No, not really.
Trying to get into the mind of it.
Yeah, I've not really thought about it, actually. It's been a while since I've had that switch off, so...
Yeah.
If I do get it again, I'll make sure.
Note to self.
Note
to Kells. I do switch. I mean, it may seem like trivial, funny questions, but really trying to get into the mind of it. Trying to get an understanding about what the mindset is when you're in that place and you're in that fucking metropolis. You know what I mean? You're having to cover up and it's just intense.
A lot of the times you're with other people, which I think lessens the paranoia. When there's a whole group of you, you can kind of switch off easier because you're all together.
Don't you worry about them?
Well, I think if you're all together, you're kind of less... It's weird because if there's a lot of you, you're probably going to get noticed more, but there's less chance of you getting nicked, I think. But if you're on your own, you're a bit
safety
more conspicuous.
Hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to switch off, though, when you're on your own.
Really?
Because, yeah, the paranoia levels are a bit...
I get it.
A bit higher.
I get it.
That's why I rate writers that do stuff on their own. Especially yards on their own, track sides on their own. It's like, yeah. I've never done a yard on my own. That's like...
That's a love of adrenaline sport in itself.
That's
I mean, look, we're not advocating it or condoning it, but one thing we are saying is, like, there is a level of mindset which it's a different discussion.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Go out there and do what you do solitarily.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think you've got... be a certain type of person to do that. Yeah.
Crazy.
And very motivated. But no, it's all... And to do it well as well. I've seen people that go on yard on their own and just everything's clean, nice, there's no drips. It's like, fucking hell, you're just mad.
Do you think doing the graphics and the things you're doing now, do you think that was an exit of strategic, to get out of this, but you did say that coming towards the tail end of, or when you got, when your career in graph, for want of a better term, got to that, the following cruise, and it started getting serious and it started getting intense, do you think it could have carried on like that?
I don't know why it stopped, really. Weird. I don't know what happened. I think maybe people started having kids, and I think maybe going out a bit more became more of a priority sometimes.
Yeah.
Just going out, you know. Yeah. I think that was towards the tail end of my graph career, was like the start of the DJing, so I kind of maybe prioritised that a little bit. It was always there, but I don't know, it just kind of just fizzled out, and then I'm not doing it anymore.
Mm-mm-mm. But it never leaves you?
No, I'm still there. I still look at stuff, I still want to do stuff. I think, oh, that'd be a good spot to do.
Mm. Do you see some things and you're just like, oh, that spot looks good? Or you see something on Instagram and you're just like, ah... Or they, someone sends you a photo of yours from back in the day and you're like, shit, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah.
Does that that play in your mind?
Yeah, you want to relive it again all the time.
Is it a youthful sport? You think it's a youthful sport?
I think so. Mm. I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. It's easier to do it, to be motivated, to get away with it when you're younger, I think.
Mm.
I think.
Yeah.
But there's still the old guys still doing it.
Mate.
I'm sure.
A lot of them are coming out.
And I'm
just
loving
brilliant.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you reckon that'll be...
It might be a little motivated. It might be.
I love that. At the start of the podcast, it was... But by the end of it... we
definitely. 100%.
I'm there.
I'm out there. Tonight.
Yeah. Well, it's been a fucking pleasure, my brother.
Thank you, boss, for having me up.
Yeah, man.
Nice one.
Yeah, more respect. Life to you, my man.
Safe, man.
Wicked. The Mighty Chang inside the place. Never disappointing here on the Killer Keller podcast. Share and share. Tell a friend to tell a friend, all right? Sharing's caring. And without fail... We're here every week doing it proper, all right? Stay lucky, people. Don't talk to any strange ones. Thank you, my brother.
Safe, man. Peace.
Peace.